You know, this weekend seemed to have a theme for Auburn athletics, and it was sporting events that fans back in Auburn weren't able to watch. ESPN lost the whole like second half of the basketball matchup against Kentucky, and then so many people didn't have Flow Sports and just couldn't watch games 2 and 3 of Auburn's trip out to Arlington. But the good news is they won. And we're going to talk about it. Welcome on into the Barn Baseball Show. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Sonny DeShera. Brad Law is currently traveling back from Arlington with the team, so he's unable to be here today. But Sonny, I want to talk about these three games because this was one of the better weekends of baseball I feel like this team has played in a while. Before we get into each individual game, what was like your biggest takeaway from the stats and the performances over the weekend?
From what me, you, and Brad talked about last week, we were all expecting a 2-1 weekend. Like, obviously, that's a great weekend, but I don't know if there's many people expecting a sweep in this fashion. It was, I mean, the bats came alive like no other. I mean, that Ohio State game was just pure dominance to start it. That I think that them winning like that set the tone for the entire weekend, and honestly, that sets the tone for me. Like, looking at them, that's going to set the tone for the season. So just from the first pitch that day, I think that's the success. All the success came from that game.
Like, I think folks maybe don't necessarily realize when you look at the stats and you see like Auburn won 13-0 in 7 innings. Like, yeah, run rule victory against a Power 5 team, any Power 5 team, that's a big deal. But then when you get into, like, to your point, what actually happened? The leadoff hitter gets a single. And from that point, I don't believe Ohio State had another hit until the third inning. They got a 2-out single.
Oh my gosh.
And then from there, that was all. That was all of the hits that they had in the entire rest of the game. And I think to your point on setting the tone for the weekend, I think it also a performance like that from the pitching staff. I want to start there. Really kind of has a way of setting up the team for success over the rest of the weekend. Sam Gutton, 6 innings, 2 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts. He did hit a batter, so 3 total base runners in this one. But just incredibly efficient. Ryan Hetzler gets an inning at the end. Perfect, no blemishes, 1 strikeout there. But they don't have to use anybody else because, one, the offense goes off, and two, Sutton is just so Sutton. My wife's maiden name is Sutton. Yeah. Samuel Dutton is just so efficient with his pitch count, getting out of at-bats early, getting weak contact, that you have essentially the entire staff other than Dutton available for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I hope that they keep rolling Dutton on Fridays because, I mean, he's going to throw strikes. He's going to get hit. You know, he's not going to be this good every time, which he might be, you never know, but he literally just goes out there, he competes, he throws strikes like that. That really sets the tone for the weekend because if you got your Friday guy going out there and he's 50-50, not throwing strikes, that's just hard to – it's hard. It's an uphill battle from there, really. So Dutton has just – I think he surprised a lot of people, including myself. He is taking that leadership role and run with it.
I gave a little bit of a mea culpa on Locked On Auburn the other day, and I said – I expected the pitching staff to be better. I didn't necessarily know if they would be this good, and I didn't necessarily know if it would be Sam Dutton. He was coming from a relief role at LSU, and he was learning some new pitches, and the idea was, instead of just sticking with fastball slider, let's give him a couple more pitches so that he can get through an order 2 and 3 times. And especially after that first start against Holy Cross on Saturday, the only Auburn loss of the year at this point, where he was really just kind of sticking with those same 2 pitches and not expanding and using the whole arsenal, I had my doubts, and he's absolutely proven me wrong. Shout out Sam Dutton. We're going to have you on the pod at some point in time so I can give you mea culpa in person. But that's been probably, from a pitching staff perspective, him stepping up and like back-to-back weekends of, what, 9 punch-outs? Like, that's probably the biggest single takeaway of the pitching staff, or I guess the biggest outperforming expectations I've seen so far from the pitching staff.
Yeah, he doesn't have punch out stuff either. So it's like That just shows you how well he's using
the strike. That's the hitter in you talking. You're like, listen, Sam, I can take you deep, but these guys aren't doing it.
I mean, because Sam's like your typical pitcher. He's going to be, low 90s, throwing strikes, hitting corners. Like, to me, wipeout stuff is like upper nines with hard sliders and changeups and splitters and all that type of stuff. And so that really shows you how well he's using the strike zone and how he's getting guys to believe in his other pitches to start going after those balls that he eventually throws. And so he has shown the staff that, hey, like I might not be, wicked and throw 100, but this is what you can do if you can just throw strikes and hit corners and not throw it over the middle of the plate.
Yeah. And to your point, the analytics account for the team put out some of the leaders after this Arlington tournament of, you look at like whiff rate, he's not in that top group, but he's second on the team in strikeout to walk ratio at 5.8. He's speaking of number one in that category, friend of the program, Parker Carlson, absurd 12 strikeouts per walk. Wow. And then strike percentage, to your point, Sam Dutton's third, 67.8%, which again, also shout out Parker Carlson, number one in that stat, 71.6. So he's doing what you have to do with this defense behind you. And he's doing what he has to do, to your point, early in the count, getting guys where they have to expand the zone because they're in a disadvantage count. And that's when he can get them with the breaking ball, something out of the zone and make them chase. Do you think that approach is sustainable when you get into conference play and you're facing your Vanderbilts and you're facing some of your, you would assume, hitters with more refined approaches?
I think it does work because it, like I said, man, this staff is so bought in on strikes that stuff comes second. And I believe that is so important because you could be the nastiest pitching staff in the world, but if you're throwing, what's a bad strike percentage? Like 65%, 60% as a staff?
Like below 60. Below 60, 55, something in the fives is probably not great.
If you're throwing below 60%, nobody cares. If you're walking 5-6 guys a game, like that doesn't matter. Because that's 5-6 guys that are supposed to score that got free bases. So the lack of free base that this team is allowing, and obviously, this offense is explosive. So I think it just gives the pitchers a sense of relief that, hey, even if we give up 4, 5, 6 runs, our offense is going to be there. So let's just focus on being around the plate. And just if they hit it, they hit it. And if we can get them out, good. But balls is just not an option. I like that.
There you go. Shifting over to the offensive side, your side of the ball, obviously. That second inning just ended up being massive for Auburn. They put up an 8 spot. And when you go and you look at, at what happened, I want to say they sent 12 guys to the plate in the inning. And again, to your point, it's walks, right? Mm-hmm. I want to say they drew 4 walks in the inning, including, 3 walks to open the inning and a 4th one later. It was like Derek Fabian walked to open it. Bub Terrell then walked, then Chris Rembert walked. Jace Frelick hits a single, boom, you got a run in. Bristol Carter hit a foul ball to right field. Another runs in, and it just kind of snowballs from there. How much of this offensive explosion you saw, you think was Ohio State giving you runs with free base runners, and how much of that was just like clutch hitting on the part of these Tigers hitters?
Yeah. I mean, timely hitting is the most important thing in baseball. It doesn't always come right. So whenever teams are giving you those free passes and those free, errors and anything like that, to be able to take advantage of them, that's what sets teams apart. Like, I mean, because Auburn, they could have got those walks in the inning, right? Mm-hmm. But if Frelick doesn't get a hit, inning's over probably. His base loaded, 2 outs, and then Bristol comes up right behind Frelick, keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And so it is very important to be able to have the timely hitting. You can't necessarily practice the timely hitting, but it's just more of really focusing on, okay, 1 out, base is loaded here. I don't want to hit a ground ball. I just want to hit something in the outfield. And that, it's just fun to see. It's fun to see the offense click in this early because you don't normally see that.
Which freshman performance from that game? I'm going to give you 2 stat lines. I want you to tell me which one's more impressive. One of these guys goes 3 for 4, 2 RBI, 2 runs. The other one goes 1-for-1 with one RBI and two runs, but he walks three times. Which of those is more impressive? Before I tell you which one's a freshman, which one of those is more impressive in a situation like this?
In a situation like this, big time, on the big show, you're playing in Arlington, your first Power 5 opponent of the year, it's definitely the 3-for-4, 100%. Because the three walks, like, right, that goes – that's part of the pitcher being bad, and that's also right. part of you being good. So,
right, okay.
Definitely the three for four is like – because that's the first time they're under a big light. Obviously, the stadium's not filled. You're playing in a 70,000-seat stadium with 5,000 people. So,
it absolutely wild.
It's just different, but they're definitely a 3-for-4.
It was actually a trick question. They were both freshmen. Bub Terrell walked three times. Chris Rembert goes – I'm sorry, Chase Fralick goes 3-for-4 with two RBI there in the win. Auburn, 7 walks, 3 strikeouts in the whole game. So absolutely kind of impressive.
That's been the most impressive thing I've ever seen the start of this season is the walks to strikeout. Do you have that? Do you have that stat somewhere
For the season? Yeah, on the season. Hang on. The team sent me stats for the entire season.
I've got it's that. It's got to be close to 1-to-1.
All right. Let me see. For the entire season, the offensive group has 61 walks. And 64 strikeouts.
That is so incredible. That
practically is close to 1-to-1.
Yeah.
They've also been hit by pitches 20 times.
Okay, so that's more than 1-to-1.
So that's 81 free. Yeah, it's 81 free passes. I'm obviously not counting drop third strikes or balks and stuff, but 81 free passes to 64 strikeouts. So yeah, there you go.
That is absolutely ridiculous. That I mean, obviously that's not going to hold because you just can't like that. Because
when you get into conference play with better pitching, that's not going to be as pronounced. But
what do you think? What do you think? Like a normal end of the season rate is like 60% walks to strikeouts.
I think something if you can like get that. It above 60, like if your strike percentage you're throwing on offense and your walk to strikeout ratio can be around the same, I feel like your team has done their job on both sides. Right?
Yeah.
So I'd say 60. Plus percent is kind of probably the goal here. Obviously, now you're at 90 something. It's going to go down, like you said. But I still feel like a 60 something percent would be pretty amazing. Now, I said that I don't actually know what average is in the SEC. If you're a stat person and you know this already, leave a comment down below. Let us know. But you mentioning the walks kind of makes me think about the Saturday game against Oregon State because Auburn only walked 6 times, 9 strikeouts. But they hold on against a top 10 Oregon State team to win 8-7. I had a question. Somebody asked me about Auburn's been giving up some late runs recently. Is that a reason to be worried? Or is it just one of those when you play good teams, they're going to find opportunities to score some runs late as long as you don't let them, like as long as you hold on, like Auburn did? They won 8-7. Yeah, it's seriously. Okay. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's not. You can't call for concern at all because it's not. One, does that game truly matter? No. It's not SEC. You're playing against number 8 team. Yes, it does matter in that sense, but it doesn't matter for conference play. And you're playing in a big stadium, and it's the first time under the lights, and Auburn still won. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know we're talking about Hayden Murphy came out. Did he come out on the 8th or did he come out on the 9th? When did he come out?
He came out on the 9th. He gave up 2 runs on 2 hits and a walk, registered 1 out, and then Jet Johnston came in and cleaned it up and got the save. Yeah.
I mean, like this, the fact that, you know, we send our guy who's supposed to be the closer and who's going to be really good. Murphy's going to be good this season. That's just
that cutter of his is nice.
Yes. Was that Murphy's, like, that's probably Murphy's first big time situation against a really good team late in a game.
Yeah, I want to say he hasn't had anything really dramatic from a close. Yeah. He's been in like some non-save situations. I don't think he's been in the save situation all season, except for maybe unless he got one of those Holy Cross games. I'm trying to remember who closed those out.
I'm even talking about last year too, and now he's got the new pitch, the new cutter. So that's just, and he, it's not like he went out there and gave up, you know, the world. He went out there, he did what he could, and then Jet came in and just closed it. That's just big time to see that even when your closer gets hit, you got somebody else that can come in. And I know there's multiple guys that can come in and do what Jet did.
And honestly, he got a fly out early, then a 7-pitch walk. Dude just worked count and earned it. a double down the line. If that's at a fielder, it's an out, but down the line. And then guy scored on a pass ball, which pass ball by definition is not his fault. Wild pitch is his fault. Pass ball is not. And then a bloop single into the infield or into center field meant there's an unearned run. So like three runs scored in the inning. He only got tagged for two because of the pass ball and all that. Yeah. But still, it gets it's just sometimes those outings happen. You just we talked about the flip side of this. Auburn had some games where they were just hitting balls on the screws and it was right to somebody in the infield. And I think I had the stat the analytics team gave me. At one point in time, Auburn had I think it was 301 mile an hour line drive outs in the infield in the same game. Like this is the flip side of that where things find grass and the find holes and stuff happens. I'm not worried about Hayden Murphy. I don't think you are either.
It's hard. Cause it's not like he went out there and just had a four pitch walk and then gave up a laser beam double and then threw an awful wild pitch and then gave up another laser beam. No, he had a tough at bat against somebody.
It's a bad luck.
I mean, it's just, that's how the ball goes. But the good thing is we had somebody else step right up and do it. So,
and the stepping up in that game was a theme of the pitching staff, right? Mm-hmm. Cade Fisher, you know, friend of the show, comes back, makes it through 1 2/3 innings, faces 10 batters, gets 5 outs, 3 of those via strikeout, but he also allows 3 hits, 2 runs, and he walks 3. Didn't necessarily look 100% back, right? Still a little bit iffy, and some of that may just be no competitive, you know, situations in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Cam Tilley comes out, cleans up that second inning, goes 2 more innings, 1 hit, 1 walk. I think he hit a batter, so three base runners in his 2 1/3 innings. Carson Myers is locked down for 2 innings. Parker Carlson goes 2 innings, a couple runs score, but still only 2 hits, no walks. The kind of the theme, and I think one of the areas where I maybe discounted this team a little bit was the depth and how many pitchers could just come in and clean up stuff. We didn't mention John Armstrong once. Like John Armstrong was always the dude you would have called in that Cade Fisher situation to come in and close out that second inning. And they didn't even have to overuse him in this. And pitching staff, is it deeper than maybe we gave them credit for? Or is this just you got lucky, but this is still risky when you get to conference play?
Yeah, I think it's just a testament to the staff of throwing strikes, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, the fact that Fisher had, you know, he had his little outing. Obviously, he hadn't pitched in a couple weeks. It is what it is. And so you get Tilley come out and shut it down, giving up 3 base runners. And then Parker comes out, only gives up 2 and 2. Only giving up 2 and 2 is great. There's nothing wrong with that. And they just stack together. And obviously, now if there was like 10, 7, 8, 9 walks in the game, I'd be like, all right, you know, that there's a problem. But there wasn't. There was just a playing a really good lineup. Oregon State's going to win their, well, the Pac-3, whatever conference they're in. They're going to win whatever they're in, and they're going to host a regional. I mean, they're going to be a really good team. That's the best lineup. That's one of the best lineups they'll face all year. I'm 100% by that.
Yeah, I mean, and when you were kind of watching the game, or for a lot of people listening to our buddy Brad Law call the game, like you could see some of these guys, you're going to hear some of these guys' names called this summer, like Gavin Turley.
Yeah, Turley,
you know,
for sure.
In left field, you know, insane. Jacob Krieg at first base went 2 for 4. Yeah, he struck out, but he hit one. I remember he hit one like a mile in that whole thing. I mean, they like you said, that's a very good lineup, and it's a pretty deep lineup. I mean, their center fielder batting 7th went 2 for 3 with a run, right? Mm-hmm. Like they can do a lot. Their number 9 hitter drew 3 walks in the game. Like,
oh my gosh.
He went 0 for 1 with 3 walks and a run scored. But
he was over half the walks for the game.
Exactly. But you look at Auburn's offense, and like a lot of it is just dudes being able to the opportune hit, right? You have McMurray and Fabian are on in the second. Chris Rimbert ground rule double, right? Chris Rimbert hits that home run when Cooper McMurray's on in the 5th. You know, you've got multiple guys on. Cade Ballou gets hit by a pitch in the 4th, brings a run in. Irish. Like, what is with the combining the names today? Ike Irish singles and brings in Eric Snow. And then Auburn did the 1st and 3rd stolen base thing. I'm sure you've seen this some in the minors. Irish is on first. Cade's on third. And Irish takes off for second. And Oregon State throws down to second. And so Cade just takes off and steals home. Like, MLB teams don't know how to defend that all the time yet. Yeah. But in college,
it has to be a perfect throw. Like, it has to be a perfect throw. And to be able to redirect it back to home, it's hard. And I don't know if you remember, but when we played there, we were playing – I'm pretty sure it was Texas Tech or Kansas State. One of the two. We stole home against – I think it was Kansas State. We stole home. Josh Hall stole home. And that was awesome.
Josh Hall.
So I know I know Gabe was scheming, trying to get something in there. So I'm sure he told Cade – I'm sure that was a put-on play. Oh, actually, you know, Nonemaker is at third now. Never mind.
Yeah. Gabe's in the dugout.
Yeah, I'm sure he told Ballou. He's like, hey, Ike's going to go, and as soon as they throw, you take off. And sure enough.
And the best part is Auburn wins by one. That was the deciding run, was that play that they schemed up to do that. So you feel good about that. The MVP of this game to me, I think, has to be Chris Rembert.
Yeah,
two for four, a homer, a ground rule double, four RBI. Like,
turned a double play that game, right, too?
I believe he did. Now, the defense, a little bit different on Sunday, but on Saturday was really good. Let's get to that Baylor game real quick. 7-4 win for Auburn. Baylor makes it dramatic late, right? They scored three runs in the final two innings, two in the eighth, one in the ninth, to bring it from obviously like 7-1 to 7-4, but Auburn hangs on, gets the win. And the story here to me is Christian Chatterton, like true freshman, first power fine, five innings, nine strikeouts, two hits, one run. He walked two, that happens, but just what more could you have asked for from a true freshman in that situation? A chance to win the tournament.
Yeah, that's big time, dude. That is big time for him, because you're going to have that freshman starting pitcher somewhere, somehow show up. And he's shown up. He's shown up every week. Mm-hmm. And for him to show up like that against Baylor under the lights is just awesome. Like you said, he had two walks in five innings. I would love if every time I played a baseball game, our starter only had two walks every five innings. So –
You're in the minors right now. There's some pretty – I've watched some low-level minor league baseball. There can be some ugly pitching outings.
It's tough because now the game is getting to more stuff over strikes. So not very fun as a hitter to be in that box.
These guys don't always know where it's going.
Yeah.
You've probably worn a couple and done some of that.
Yeah.
But no, like, this is something where Baylor gets a home run in the first inning. And so Auburn has to respond, and they do. They put up two in the second, two in the third, and then they just kind of keep finding ways to pile on, right? Chase Frelick hits an RBI single in the fifth, scores Cooper McMurray. Cade homers in the eighth, gets them two runs. Auburn sends out a pinch runner for Chase Frelick. I think it's Addison Klepsch is pinch running. Yep. Didn't even matter because it's a home run, but just a lot of – this was one where it felt like Auburn could have done even more. They left like eight runners on base, and a lot of them ended up being towards the bottom of the lineup, right? Chase Frelick goes 3-for-4. He doesn't score any runs. Obviously, the one time that his spot came in, it was a pinch runner, but kind of felt like Baylor was almost lucky that this was only 7-4. Is that kind of like a valid, or is that one of those? Yeah. No, I mean, you know what you do.
Yeah, I thought the same. You know, Auburn had enough timely hits in that game, which, like, if you have two or three timely hits in a game, you're going to win. Like, I want to see, like, I want to know a stat on that, is where if you got runners in scoring position and you execute at least three times a game, you're going to win. And so they did enough, which is most baseball, but 95% of the baseball games, if you do enough, you will win. So, yeah, you're right. This game really could have been 10 to 15 runs if they had all the timely hits, but you don't need them all the time.
And then the runs that kind of scored, Dylan Watts gave up three hits, two runs late. I want to say that was the eighth inning there. Ryan Hetzler comes back in the ninth, unearned run, but kind of, you know, shuts the door. That's twice over the weekend that he came out and pitched the final inning of the game. He did against Ohio State as well. He's a guy we haven't really talked a lot about him. And I feel like he could do a lot for this Auburn team were he to actually get into one of these high leverage roles, right? I mean, he came over from Cal Baptist, and he was fantastic for them. And we've barely seen him this year. he can absolutely take on more innings and I think some higher leverage innings, mm-hmm. kind of like he did with that final inning there against Baylor.
Yeah, this is like your Tommy Sheehan type of guy. Like, we didn't know how good Tommy was going to be until we really needed him. And so that's good. Like I said in one of the first shows, there's going to be guys we don't know who mm-hmm. show up. It happens every year. And if it doesn't happen, then you're not in a good spot. Your team won't be good. And so, and then Jet also coming up too. Like, those two guys showing that, you know, yeah. if your closer Murphy is just not having his stuff, and or he can't go back-to-back days, which he shouldn't go back-to-back days this early in the season, you can have somebody step up, and that's good to see this early on.
Hetzler so far on the season, 3 innings pitched. He's faced a grand total, I've got it here, grand total of 11 batters. 1 has reached base.
What age is he?
He is a sophomore. He's a second year. So
second year, okay.
Yeah, he's what, 19, 20?
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, Johnson's kind of in a similar boat, right? Like he's been used a little bit more, right? But
yeah.
Even there, I mean, he had Texas A&M. He was struggled a little bit in that first season, but this year, nothing. Like, nobody's done anything against him all year. Yep. And it's you know, it's like, hey, you know, 4 2/3 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 5 strikeouts. It's like, these are 2 dudes that maybe fans weren't counting a ton on.
Yeah, these can be your setup. Yeah, these can be your guys that when Murphy's locked in and going, they can come in before Murphy, fill some outs, and then you let Murphy have the ball and go from there. And so it's good to see really early on. This team is obviously from week one to now, this team, young team, is now playing like a bunch of veterans. So it's good to see.
Before we get out of here, I want to give some really interesting stats. I've got the stats just from Arlington. Shout out to the program to George for sending these over to us. Guess the Auburn hitter that scored the most runs. And you're going to appreciate this answer.
Coop. Had to be Coop.
Cooper McMurray scored 6 runs on the weekend.
What was his on base on the weekend?
On base was 571 on the weekend, which is the second highest on base on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. He is what Coop is doing, what Derek is doing, and even Snow at the front of the lineup is awesome. And Ballou too. I mean, you're not going to see that the whole year. It's unrealistic, right? And if you do, then just crazy. But
if you do, then book tickets to Omaha, right?
Yeah, seriously. If they do, that's going to be the best hitting team of all time. So it's I even said this last week. Like, it's good to see what the guys can do when they're locked in. So it's very encouraging.
Yeah, the combination of Chase Frelick, Bub Terrell, and Chris Rembert, 13 hits in 30 at-bats. They scored 8 runs. They had 11 RBI.
Wow.
3 extra base hits, including 2 doubles and a homer. Like, the 3 freshmen did this. If I told you that Auburn went into Arlington and went 3-0, and I asked you who was going to be the offensive catalyst, everybody would say Ike Irish, Cooper McMurray.
Mm-hmm. To those guys.
And it's the freshmen. The freshmen are doing this. And Brad mentioned this on the call, I want to say on Sunday. What do you do when Eric Guevara is back? Like, who do you sit down to make room for Eric Guevara in the lineup?
That's tough. But Chris has shown more than anybody he deserves to be out there. And it's hard because Snow and Fabian, like, those two guys are raking. Like, I feel bad for Eric, but this is a very tough situation. You know, I don't know where you put him. I don't know.
Yeah,
it stinks. It really does.
This is one of those scenarios. Like, Chase Frelick's batting .474. You can't take him out of the DH spot.
You can't take him out of that spot. You can't. You can't take him. Like, when Ike catches, you still have – I mean, when Ike is in the outfield, you can't put Frelick at third base like he was playing earlier and let somebody DH. You can't.
It's just
because the other infielders are doing so well. It's tough. This is a situation that a hitting coach and a head coach do not want to have because – that you want to have because you have too many guys, but then it's also hard to have because you're like,
does Guevara not get a spot back because he got hurt? Like, that's not fair to him. It's a Wally Pipp situation.
It's hard, man. It's hard. Yeah. It's so hard because Eric hit like .500 in the fall. Like, he deserves every opportunity he can get. So I don't know, man. I hate it. It's a very awkward, hard situation.
Yeah, it is. Again, it is not an easy scenario. Auburn goes 4 for 6 stolen bases over the weekend. Eric Snow and Bristol Carter both were not successful. On the year, they are 20 of 24 on stolen bases. And the full season kind of numbers here. Who do you, who do you think has the most RBI on this entire team?
I think Frelick does, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It's Fabian.
Fabian
has 15 on the whole season.
He's got 3 homers, right?
Fabian only has 2 homers. The team is Bub and Chris Rembert are tied for 3, which is not a sentence I thought I would say.
Yeah, seriously, that's crazy.
I was like, Cooper and Ike would be tied for the lead in homers. No, it is. Yep. To our point, you can't take these guys out of the lineup.
You can't. It's a hard conversation, you know, but it is what it is. Like, and Eric's such a good dude and like such a good teammate. He understands, like, man, you're right. Like, it is what it is. And so an opportunity will float for him. Yeah. And he's going to take the most of it. So it's just going to be what's working right now has got to stay out there. It is what it is.
There you go. We'll be back later this week. We have an interview actually might be with one of those freshmen. We'll see. And then we'll be coming back at the end of the week to preview the last non-conference series before you get in the conference play. Old Dominion comes in town this week, and Cooper McMurray probably has some thoughts on that matchup and everything. but until then, he's Forsyth DeShera. For the traveling Brad Law, I'm Lindsey Crosby, and this has been the Barn Baseball Show.